Tonight's Thursday night double eviction recap of Big Brother 19 is sponsored by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? You don't want a bunch of riffraff like the people that do whatever Paul says in the Big Brother house. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click. Then the powerful ZipRecruiter technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike these other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within one day. No more juggling calls or emails to your office. Just simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. They are going to drop right in, easier than these limes in the power of veto competition. So find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/first. That's ZipRecruiter.com/first. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/first. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who has just one question tonight. Taryn, so are you going to do the Big Brother Canada daily update first in the morning, or are you going to do the Celebrity Big Brother update first in the morning? Or are you going to do it all in one show?
Well, I'll get to your question in just a second. But first, I need to talk about how amazing that double eviction was.
Yes.
But now, getting back to your question.
Hold on, let me finish opening the show. I'm Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's our double eviction recap, double eviction number two. And I think we have a lot to unpack here tonight on a double eviction with a lot of moving pieces, a lot of chicanery. We're going to talk through what was real, what was fake, what was unexpected through all of it. So excited to get into that all here tonight, and interesting stuff all around, guys. So first, Taryn Armstrong, you know him. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great.
Okay. And then, of course, I'm interested to hear the reaction tonight from Brent Walgamott. Brent, how are you?
It's fun being here with you two counterfeits. That's all I can say.
Yeah, counterfeit. That really took on a life of its own
and
here tonight.
And I just want to say at the top of the show that I done told both of you that Josh could do his work in the Good Mind message. And you both poo-pooed me and said, oh, they'll leave that on the cutting room floor. And I was like, no. Josh is like their go-to guy. They will show it. And they threw Paul right under the bus tonight. And I was living for it.
All right. Well, a lot to do. Of course, big news here tonight as well. Julie Chen announced right at the end of the show, she had a little bit of a curveball of her own to announce that Celebrity Big Brother is coming to CBS properties in 2018. We'll also discuss what that might mean and might look like for us and for you guys as we go along here tonight on the just less than 2 weeks to go, 13 days away from the finale of Big Brother 19. Happy to have you guys on board. Of course, you can send in your questions here tonight. Hashtag RHAP. Scott St. Pierre is standing by. So I guess let's just go through the headlines of tonight. No fake news here. And so I guess we start with, as according to plan, we saw Jason go out in part one of the double eviction. That was exactly as choreographed by Paul. For anybody that may not be on top of the live feeds, Taryn, this was exactly as Paul drew it up, down to the fight that went on between Paul and Josh after the fact?
Correct. So the idea was that Paul was going to tie the vote so that he would be able to disguise the fact that he was behind the plan to get Jason out in the eventuality that Alex could win this HOH, which she does. So then Paul has her ear and he's able to get her to nominate Kevin and Raven instead of the people that just evicted her friend in Josh and Christmas. And so that was all part of the plan.
So, Brent, I guess the thing that I don't understand is, okay, so that is Paul gets into this fake fight with Josh and really says, you know, that wasn't cool. Why did you do this? And they go back and forth. But why does that make Alex not put Josh and Christmas on the block? Why would she then leave the two people off the block when she wins HOH, who were responsible for her quote unquote ride or die going home?
Because Alex is a moron. She really is. And number one, no, for real. That's number one. Alex is a moron. That should be your headline for the night. What the hell with these nominations? But more than that, number two, Alex cannot see past her own hatred in this game. It totally overpowers her brilliant gameplay at times, especially in competitions. I'm not talking about strategy. Please just understand that I understand that her strategy is not exactly brilliant. What I'm trying to say is that her dislike for certain house guests, I like at Jessica in the beginning of the season and Kevin now, she cannot get past it. It's sort of amazing that Kevin is on the block, and yet, just as predicted by Paul, he's like, I guarantee that if Jason goes home, and this is a tie-tie vote, that if Alex wins HOH, she will put Kevin right back on the block. And he was like telling Josh and Christmas, like, don't worry, I got this. I've got Alex wrapped around my finger. And he sure did. So at least for the first 15 minutes of tonight, things went according to plan for Paul.
I mean, it's almost like she didn't say boo when Jason went out the door. The only thing she said is that Jason was leaving. It wasn't me, Jason. I didn't do it. Don't blame me for this. And I mean, the whole thing was really bizarre. And then so, okay, we'll take it just piece by piece. So then Jason goes out. He's gobsmacked about the whole thing, and he is really shell-shocked. He doesn't even say goodbye to Alex. He runs out of the house, Taryn, and then he's talking with Julie. He doesn't really know what happened. Julie says, okay, let's look at the goodbye messages, and we got this goodbye message from Josh where he says, look, this was all part of Paul's master plan. Paul did this, and I had to do it. It was a game move. The line that Brent was referencing early on, do you feel like that this could be Paul's undoing?
Absolutely. This, I mean, not what Josh said, but what Paul says afterwards, because right after Josh says, Paul was in on this, he betrayed you, this was his master plan, we get Paul immediately after doing the exact same thing he did to Davon last season, feigning ignorance to this whole thing. Man, I'm in a whole house of counterfeits.
If this is what happened, Jason, then they're all counterfeit. I don't know what is going on here. Friendship. I'm with you. And I definitely did not vote you out. So
It's the worst possible thing he could have done. Like the second he did this, he completely solidified. Jason will never vote for him in the final two, and he's going to do everything in his power to get other people to not vote for him. Because not only does this make Jason mad at him, but it also makes him look like a fool. Yes. Because you're so obviously lying, and that's the worst look that you can have in this game.
Yeah, that's why I think that Jason really ran out of the house tonight and didn't even say boo to anybody because he was embarrassed. Kevin had been telling him, "Look, you know you're the hero here. You've got all of these competition wins. I can't win anything. Like, I'm pretty sure that they're going to take their shot at you, and I sure would like to stay." And of course, Alex or Jason's like, I hope I stay. But in the back of his mind, he's just placating Kevin. He knows Kevin's going home, or so he thinks. And then fast forward to tonight. I don't understand Paul here, Taryn. He knows that Jason's going to go to the jury. He knows Jason's then going to compare notes with Matt. Matt's going to say, "Dude, Paul was trying to get you out like the week that we were there, but then you went in one HOH and that foiled his plan." So like, if he didn't already know, he's gonna know really soon. You might as well be upfront with the guy and say, "You know what? You were just too good. You're a family man. I can't beat you in the final two." But instead, he's continuing to play the game, making Jason look like a complete idiot to all of us watching at home. Jason realizes he looks like a complete idiot to all of us watching at home and in front of Julie Chen. And I have to agree with you. I don't think there's any way he's ever gonna vote for Paul in the end.
Yeah, and I mean, what he needs to do here is, like, you don't have to be like, "Listen, here was the plan. I set you up." Like, you don't necessarily have to do that, but you also don't have to lie. You don't have to feign ignorance. What Paul should do here is, "Look, man, I'm sorry that you were the one that went. It's the way that it goes." And then Jason is kind of confused. He's like, "Did Paul turn on me? I'm not sure." He goes to the jury house. They're like, "Yeah, Paul was playing everyone the whole time." He's like, "Oh, wow." Instead, right now, he's like, dude, you're obviously lying to me. Again, solidifying the fact that Paul isn't a mastermind that got one over on him. He's just that backstabbing counterfeit that he's never going to vote for.
Yeah, but Taryn, I also feel like part of the problem here is also Alex, because Jason did have these thoughts in his head, you know, like, why does Paul get to decide everything? Why are we doing everything that Paul says? Early on in the season, it got beaten out of him by Alex, who said, dude, this guy, Paul, he's about friendship. I saw a season last year. He's got a whole franchise of friendship restaurants across the United States. Like, you don't have to worry. And then he goes out to Julie Chen and he's like, well, obviously that whole friendship thing was not real. And really, more than anything, I know Paul says that, but it was really Alex who was beating that into his head, and he really should hold her accountable.
Now, Brent, I know you've recently watched some BB16, correct? So could you tell me, in terms of Derek and his goodbye messages, how did he handle this?
Honestly, I didn't watch much. I've watched competitions just because I like to know if they're changing anything for Christmas. Honestly, that's my real angle there.
They didn't change anything for her tonight.
That's true.
They made it harder.
Well, yeah, that was really weird. Yeah, apparently, like, when you have a broken foot, you can go running around in a ball pit and running up and down stairs just like anybody else. But I digress. I would like to think, and I would like to check his Twitter, if Derek would have handled this a little bit better. I have to think he would have been smoother about it. I don't remember if he did. I'm sure the chat room or anybody will tell us or tweet us. But I have to feel like he wouldn't have made the house guest feel like a fool on the way out the door. All Paul really need to say, I feel like he can go further than what Taryn said. I feel like Paul can own his vote right there and say, dude, I'm sorry. You know, this is the way the game goes. I had to vote you out because I want to win the money, dude. I lost last year and I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen again. You know, you should have played harder. Maybe not that last part. I would have probably said the last part, but something like that. Yeah. And, you know, to tell him the truth and be a man about it. But now Jason has this vision of Paul as being totally sleazy. Paul could not have looked worse in that goodbye message. And I have to tell you also, Rob, I know you said earlier in the season that, you know, well, what's production to do? They've only got one hero of the story here. But I don't think production's here for a coronation. I think they want a competition.
Oh, so I don't think they care if Paul loses in the final, too. Yeah. I think that they got their 40 episodes of Paul in the can. They do not care if Paul ends up walking away as the winner or the runner up. They are fine. That does not bother them one bit.
Well, I feel like that, the fact that they showed those goodbye messages in the order that they did, and they didn't have to show Josh's goodbye message, as you pointed out on a few shows ago, but they chose to. Also, the fact that right after Alex's nominations, no time whatsoever. Alex is crowned the HOH, and it's like we're on Big Brother Canada, where Arissa's telling everybody, get the hell in the living room, where, like, you don't even have a moment to go to the closet and talk for a second. You've just got to make your nominations and hope for the best.
And you will.
I know, exactly. And this is a point where somebody like Paul is, I don't think he was ever in danger with Alex's HOH, but it's when he really can't control anything because he has no time to work his magic. It's like Dr. Will. He needs a little time to be able to work things. A double eviction is the worst possible time for him.
Yeah, just for the record, Derek did what I was saying earlier, which is he was pretty vague in his goodbye messages. He didn't, like, lay out his plan to anyone by any means, and he let them figure it out in jury house, and that's what I've often been referring to when it's like, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah. Taryn, let me ask you a question about an interesting blind spot for Paul that I don't know if we've talked about too much this season. You know, Paul went to the final two last season. He spent no time in the jury house. He also was not somebody that was orchestrating much of anything. He wasn't deciding the pecking order in terms of who was going home. People were leaving the game. They weren't feeling ultimately like Paul is responsible. Do you feel like that this is something that he has not given a lot of thought to in terms of how people are leaving the house, what goes on at the jury house, and what they're piecing together in terms of who called the hits in the house?
Well, here's the thing. I think he is giving a ton of thought to it, but I don't think he's approaching it from the right way. Yes. I don't think he knows how to approach this because, again, he's not a fan of the show. And so he had such a huge leg up on all of these new players coming into this season because he had so much experience. But his experience with the jury was losing that jury. And he hasn't figured out why he lost. He never really was able to figure that out.
He didn't care.
He hasn't watched... Exactly. And he hasn't watched enough Big Brother to know that this isn't something that works. And so it's like, you know, being the sole vet in that house, I feel like it was like, you know, he was, you know, sat down in a daycare and given a it's like he's playing with children, like this big weapon that he's got. And then he gets to the end. He doesn't know what to do with it. has all this control, and I feel like he's making all kinds of bad decisions with that control, and he may end up costing himself in the end.
Okay. So in terms of if Alex won the HOH, I'm sure they talked this through. Brent, this was the plan, that we're going to get Alex then to nominate Kevin and Raven, and the target was going to be Raven. Was that what Paul was sort of preaching all week long?
That was what Paul was preaching all week long. I think he thought he could control her nominations, and even though he had basically no time to talk with her, I think that little fight that he had with Josh did the trick and made Alex at least trust Paul. And even if Paul for a second got to say, you know, Raven and Kevin, or someone say, you know, Alex is going to do whatever Paul says, because she still feels like Paul's on her side. So I feel like it was in this part of the episode, I thought it was some great work from Paul in getting what he wanted. I don't think it was the right move, but on the other hand, I wish Paul could have found a way to save Raven, put Josh or Christmas on the block, and get Kevin out of the house. That would have been better for his game. I feel like he made a horrible mistake in not trying to protect Raven more. And even at the end, he still had a vote to save her, and he did not take it.
Yeah, well, let's just keep going through this chronologically, because the part that I don't understand with this nomination, I get why, you know, Alex would want to put Kevin. She has this bloodlust for Kevin, but why did it make sense for Paul to keep Christmas or Josh off the block and have Raven up on the block and ultimately going home?
Why did it make sense for Paul? Paul is obviously aligned with Christmas and Josh. So like it's in his, like he wants to work with them. He doesn't want them gone. He wants Kevin and Raven both gone before Josh and Christmas. At least that's what he's been telling them. And we have no reason to not believe him.
Yeah. So I understand. So that the issue here was that Paul wanted to keep Kevin, and that he didn't want to potentially that Raven was the person that Paul wanted out next out of anybody.
Yes. Yes, yeah. but not according to us. I mean, if you're listening to, you know, Rob as a podcast, obviously he should be doing whatever he could to keep
right.
Raven in the game. But Paul's his own man, is making his own decisions. He told Christmas and Josh, in the worst case scenario, Alex wins HOH, Raven needs to be the one to go home, because he fears her competition ability and the fact that she came in second in a lot of these competitions, which is what he was saying to Alex at the end of the episode. And the fact that there is still a part of him that worries about the fact that she may have some viability as a jury threat if she gets to the final two, noted from the fact that she brought up gastroparesis in her speech there at the end.
Yes.
Are you surprised?
But very silly for Paul to even think about getting rid of her.
Paul is my buddy buddy.
Yes, Paul is her buddy buddy. So, all right, let's get to this veto competition, which then happens. And boy, Brent, you're laughing that this was one that I don't know if maybe the dream teamers are not as nervous as the Big Brother contestants, but this did not seem to go according to any sort of timely fashion.
No, I really thought they could be there for a lot longer than they were. They actually got lucky that the house guests started to get the hang of it, because nothing was going in the holes, which I'm sure. Yeah, I know. Right. They didn't know what to do with themselves. They couldn't get it in. And even when they got it in, they didn't know what to do at the end. Josh had to be told by Julie Chen to go back and finish, which, you know, usually men don't have problem finishing.
Yeah.
Juju, what you do?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a competition, or it's at least similar to a competition they've done before. It usually lasts a little while, though. So I figured that these holes would be a little bigger. That would be a little easier to get these balls in there. But I loved the concept of this competition. I feel like it added something to the normal clown shoe veto.
I
liked it. They probably needed to expand the pipes there.
The thing that I thought was going to happen, which would have been interesting situation, I kind of thought Raven was going to fall off the railing.
Yep,
I really
yep.
thought that we were going to lose Raven in this way. And what irony of irony would be if we had her like medically evacuated from this season after falling off the ledge. I really thought that was going to happen on a live show. Fortunately, that was not the case. And Josh wins the veto. veto. And then we have this moment where, you know, he's asked what he wants to do. He gives another speech. Now, again, are we still in professional wrestling mode, Taryn? And now, is this like a planned speech? And if so, what was the intention of what he was saying?
I think they were trying to, I mean, I think Josh was just a mess in that moment. I don't know if he was like trying to perpetuate this fight, but I think that for the most part, he was just very upset about what happened and he knew that he wasn't supposed to use the veto. So
he said at this point, this whole season, I've been a misfit trying to find my group. I choose not to use the power of veto.
I thought for a second he was going to expose the fact that he's been working with Paul. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But on the flip side, he, more than anything, you know, we've also talked about this, the fact that he doesn't think anybody knows that him and Christmas are working together. It was even referenced, you know, earlier in the episode. And I think he was really trying to sell that to everybody that I'm alone in this game. Don't look at me. I'm not working with anybody. And and I can't use the power of veto because I'm worried that my girl Christmas will probably go up on the block if I do.
Okay, so we got to then get the speeches from Kevin. Kevin looked like he was getting ready to go home. Was Kevin prepared to go home in that spot, Brent?
Was he prepared? I think he was. I think he had been lied to by Paul because Paul was like, you know, you're going to be safe. Don't worry. You know, you're not going to hit the block. And then, of course, he did hit the block later on the week. And you referenced on your show last night that Kevin's kind of through with Paul. On the other hand, where does he have to go? Alex is still pissed at him. Josh and Christmas aren't working with him. Raven's now out of the house. So I don't know what Kevin was necessarily thinking, but he would just look. I think Kevin just wants to keep it classy and be nice and cool and appreciative of everybody in the entire season. And I know Alex sure expected him to go home on her HOH. That's for damn sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was pretty resigned about the whole thing. He's like, hey, to everybody, what a great summer. Everybody back in Boston, how you doing? You know, it's just like, all right.
I think he was prepared to go home both times he was up on the block.
Yeah. Yes.
So then Raven, as Brent mentioned, she, you know, pulling out all of the stops for why she should stay. She had a great summer, the gastroparesis, yada, yada, yada. So we go to the votes, and I kind of thought that we might see Kevin go out here, but Paul cast the vote to evict Raven. Christmas cast the vote to evict Raven, but Josh cast the vote to evict Kevin. Taryn, what is going on here? Was this all part of some elaborate plan to make it be a 2-1 vote, but then to switch the votes for Christmas and for Josh? For Josh and for Paul?
This was not part of the plan, as far as I'm aware. I don't know why Josh did this. It might have been a last minute thing. It might have been a nerves thing. He may have been trying to set Paul up. I think he's probably explained it on the feeds at this point, but I have not been able to keep up, and we're not in spoilers, obviously.
Yeah. Right. And then you saw there at the episode that before, because I tweeted it, that Josh inadvertently had given Paul a cover story for the rest of the house as insofar as who voted to evict who. But then fast forward to the end of the episode when we were listening in on the house guests, and Josh has already told Alex that he voted to evict Kevin. So by default, that makes Paul a vote to evict Raven. Alex is incredulous, like, you voted to evict Raven? Like, you know I wanted Kevin out of the house. That's what I've wanted the past two evictions. I'm hoping beyond hope, and again, it's like beating my head against a wall with Alex, but I'm hoping that Alex can finally see the forest for the trees at this point and realize that the reason that Paul got rid of Raven is because of her comp abilities, and if they're getting rid of Raven for their comp abilities, when you're on the block against Kevin, Alex, they're going to get rid of you too.
Well, that's a big leap for Alex to be making.
Come on! It's plain as day at this point, Rob. He told her to her face, yes, I know I made promises to Raven, but I'm looking at her comp abilities. She finished second in a lot of those comp abilities. I had to get rid of her.
For her to not realize every single thing in the house happens because it's what Paul wants to have happen. I feel like that's the biggest smoking gun. Even Whistlenut was able to figure that out.
Yeah, I guess, but I mean, look, so are you saying that she should or she shouldn't be able to figure it out? I feel like she should,
but not because, oh, wait a second, Raven is good at competitions, I'm good at competitions, Paul must be gunning for me next. I mean, I think that she should say, hey, that Paul told me all week my ride or die was going to be safe, he controls everything in this house, and so Paul must be lying to me.
Well, I think Alex thinks that she controls the entire house. And I think that's why she was yelling to Jason, it wasn't me, because she was like, obviously I would have been able to control this boat, but for some reason it wasn't. And you'll never believe that because I'm in so much control. But so like, here's the thing about Alex, and I tweeted this out, but like, if she was smart enough to recognize that Paul has turned on her, all she needs to do is put Paul up on the block next to Christmas and Paul goes home there. If Paul goes home, I think Alex wins this game. Not only is she the one that took Paul out, but who's going to stand up to her in any of these competitions? She can probably just win out from here, but she doesn't, obviously, because she's such an idiot and she does exactly what Paul tells her to do. But like, this has got to be one of the dumbest moves we've ever seen in the history of the game.
Which part in particular, that put not getting Paul out at this final six eviction?
Yeah, the guy that just took out your closest ally, the guy that's trying to get you out this week, he is the one person standing in your way to winning this game. And you're doing what, not only are you not putting him up, you're not even putting his allies up because he's telling you not
to. Yeah, to me, that seems like though, like I can understand why she wouldn't put Paul up in that spot, that in her mind, she thinks that Paul is still with her. But for her to not put up the two people that turned against her close ally that she was working with in that double eviction, to me, that's the unforgivable sin,
I suppose. But on the other hand, Raven had also, you know, not said anything obviously to Alex or Jason, like, I'm going to vote against you, even though they really should have expected it, and they really didn't even ask for her vote. They didn't think her vote mattered, actually. And then Kevin wasn't even voting, but Alex again can't see past her own dislike for Kevin in the game and just instantly put him up on him almost as a reflex. She didn't even really think about these nominations. I think that Alex, in her own dumb head, still thinks that she's in like a final five with Christmas and Josh and Paul and then Whistle, who's out of the house. Like, I think she still thinks she's working with these people.
You see, Jason, you should have listened to us last week and put Kevin up on the block. That's why these guys are mad at you. So, you know, they're going to get their, they told you to put Kevin up on the block and that Kevin is the worst person in the whole world. What do you expect when you don't get rid of him?
I will just say that at the end of the episode, I saw something in Alex that I had not seen any time previously in this season, and I saw doubt. I saw a little bit of doubt in her head about why in the world did Paul vote to evict Raven? He knew we wanted Kevin out. He's been saying Kevin all week. He's been preaching about how horrible Kevin is. He's been Kevin, 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 Kevin. He supposedly voted against Kevin in the first part of the double eviction. I put him up on the block and you don't vote him out? I mean, Alex, this is all going through her head right now, Rob. So I still have hope.
Okay. We'll see if there's any hope. We have an HOH competition that will be taking place at some point tonight. Taryn, can you come up with the most interesting scenario for an HOH win?
Kevin. I think Kevin would be interesting. I think Paul is going to do everything he can to reassert control. So we probably won't see much interesting stuff happen. But I think Kevin is probably the most interesting, but honestly, they're all just going to gun for Alex. And unless she wins the veto, then she's going to go home.
Okay. So we'll see how that plays out. Ultimately, she can't win this HOH. So she's up on the block in any scenario, Brent?
She's on the block in any scenario at this point, I feel like, because all four of them would put her up, including Kevin. Even Paul, maybe. I don't know. He might put her up as a pawn and she would probably be stupid enough to buy it. Like, I mean, she's like that. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I think Paul might put up like Kevin and this is what he'll do. He'll put up Kevin and probably Christmas because she would freak out less, I'm guessing, and put them up as pawns to hide his true intentions from Alex. Let's see what happens with the veto. If she doesn't win the veto, then we put her up. If she does win the veto, then we send Kevin home because Josh would obviously vote against Kevin. Kevin would go home. So I feel like that's probably what he'll do if he wins head of household.
Okay. So let's come back to some of this stuff. I want to touch on the celebrity Big Brother. Anything else you guys want to say from the live eviction? We'll go back and we'll take questions as well here in a couple of moments. But I do want to talk about the other big news of the night.
I do think it's worth pointing out that Josh also might have had an opportunity to take a shot at Paul here. Obviously, we saw the doubt in Alex's face. If Josh says to Alex, yeah, Paul was in on that plan and then takes Kevin and he uses the veto on one of Kevin, or he uses it on Kevin. Kevin's off the block, gets Alex to put Paul up on the block. He could have gotten, I think this is an
laughable.
This is an opportunity that could have happened.
That happened.
That is laughable.
Especially you just said that Alex had doubt on her face.
At the end of the episode, fool, not during the damn episode. I'm talking about during the episode after they had that big fight. The only person that Alex thinks is on her side is Paul Abrahamian. Okay. Yeah. That is the only person that she is with. There is no flipping way that she's going to believe Josh anything that comes out of Josh's mouth after he just done told Alex, I had to vote out your ride or die because he was just too strong, even though I've been telling him all week that I'm going to vote to keep him.
What would happen in that scenario is I think Christmas ends up going up on the block.
That's exactly what would have happened. There was no way that Josh, any universe where Josh could use this veto. Alex is such an idiot at this point in time that she would not have believed anything that Josh said. Paul would have said he's lying, is just trying to save his own ass. And even though he has the veto.
You see, Alex, these people, what's going on? I don't know.
Brent, I know you want to protect Josh's honor at all costs, but this was an opportunity to make a move. And I don't think it was his best move, but it was an opportunity.
It was an opportunity, but I considered it, and there was just, I mean, honey, I mean, in your heart of hearts, you don't really believe that there's ever a place where this happens, right?
No, I said it was a thing that could have happened, not a thing that...
So, I could go out and get 100 girls to sleep with me right now kind of thing? Whoa. Or
look, I'm saying that this is a scenario that was feasible. We've been talking about situations in this game that have been feasible for Paul to leave the game.
Okay.
There haven't been any for a very long time. And all of a sudden, we saw two scenarios in one night. And I think that's significant.
See, well, just to play that out, though. Okay, so... Let's say, hypothetically, that Josh did use the power of veto, somehow got Alex to put Paul up on the block. Then the votes there would be who? It would be
Kevin, Josh,
and Christmas would then have to vote in that scenario. So, one, would Kevin vote Paul out in that spot?
Kevin's been talking all week about how Paul needs to go if anyone wants to win this game.
And then, I guess so, but don't count on Christmas voting Paul out anytime soon.
But it would be Josh and Kevin.
Again, yeah. I think, how is Josh supposed to know that? As to my knowledge, Kevin has not really had that conversation with Josh. He's had the conversation with Whistle. He had not had those conversations with Josh. How Josh is just supposed to read Kevin's mind like, oh, you'll vote with me, right? You'll vote with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
I fully recognize that Josh wasn't capable of pulling this off.
Right.
I'm saying that this was an opportunity that if he had been capable, he could have. And I don't even think it was necessarily his best move. I'm just pointing out that it was there, and it's another weakness in Paul's game, I think.
I have one more question for you, and this is just sort of off the wall and something we hadn't really talked about. Taryn, was there a path for Josh to try to shake up Paul's control of the game by voting to keep Whistle? Was that ever in his best interest?
What? I'm going to totally blow up on you for no reason about this, Brent. This is completely impossible. Why are you even bringing this up?
Guys, he could.
Okay. What I'm saying is that is a doable plan. I mean, he could walk into the diary room and say, I vote to evict Kevin. And at that point, it's 3-1. Kevin goes home. Whistle stays. Of course, Paul's pissed, but Whistle and Alex are still like, yeah, the plan went off just like we thought it was going to go off, you know? I'm just, if you wanted to shake Paul's game up and really try to mess up Paul's plans, that's something that he could have tried to do, but whatever.
That's more of like a Karen move that's like,
that's
I'm
going
to destroy my own game in order to ruin Paul.
That's why I like it.
All right, let's touch on a little bit of this other news about Celebrity Big Brother, which Julie dropped at the end of the episode. And very exciting. We know this is coming up in the winter. That we know that CBS is very interested in trying to really push the CBS All Access coming up. I believe either the last week of September, or the first week of October, Star Trek Discovery is the big original series coming. Brent, you're a big Star Trek guy?
I have all of the series of Star Trek, the original, Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and then that shitter show that was on the WB or whatever. But
Enterprise, yeah.
Yeah, that only lasted 4 seasons, unlike the others that lasted 7 seasons. Yes, I've watched all the Star Trek.
Right. So CBS is really trying to make a big push for CBS All Access that they had said back during the Hollywood press tour about whether or not that there was going to be Big Brother OTT. They said, no, Big Brother OTT, they did not like that format, as wonderful as it was, and the
freaking
greatest...
Great.
Amazing season of Big Brother.
It really was.
They said that they were going to consider other ideas for the Big Brother format. And tonight we got the word that there was going to be Celebrity BB. So, Taryn, at this hour, do we believe that this will be a TV show that is going to be on CBS, or is this going to be the replacement for OTT on CBS All Access?
Yes, I believe this will be aired on CBS. There will also be live feeds from what I've read. And it will also be a shortened season.
Yeah, I think that this is actually a brilliant move by CBS. Really, really smart. I don't think that the subscribers were there in terms of making Big Brother OTT make sense from a financial standpoint. But, you know, you have all of these like serialized procedural dramas that CBS has, especially like if they did this in January, like during the off season between Survivor 35 and Survivor 36, say like a 3-week run, probably bad news for the prospects of Hunted returning, I would imagine. But if you ultimately put it in that spot, then you had these celebrities living in the house. I think it would also be a big spike for people who would sign up for the live feed. So you sort of have the best of both worlds of you have a show and the ratings have been really strong for Big Brother this summer. So you have the TV property in a time when there's not a lot of original run programming, Brett, and then you also have a big boost in the subscribers of CBS All Access.
Yeah, it seems like a win-win, and I'm all excited for it, honestly. It's something interesting and new to cover. I like covering interesting and new things. I think there are a lot of celebrities out there that actually watch Big Brother and tweet about it, and I'd be interested to see exactly how long they're going to do this for. I feel like a 3-week Big Brother might be very doable for people, but I always felt like it was going to be more like 5-6 weeks, so I feel like that's a pretty big difference, because especially when you're cut off from the world, and how what's the voting going to look like? Are we voting? Is there more interactive stuff going on? How does that happen? I of course, Taryn and I would like it to be as close to pure Big Brother as possible, but I have a feeling that's probably not the case.
Okay. Taryn, over under 110% chance that Frankie Grande is on this season.
Who wants to sign by like a Frankie?
And we'll come in with glitter bombs to give to 8 of the celebrities on the first night.
I refuse to be a party to this conversation.
Well, God. I will be a party to this conversation, and I just want to say that I thought it was hilarious that the announcement for Celebrity Big Brother totally upstaged the whole trailer that they put together for The Revengers, as you saw earlier tonight.
Yeah.
Glitter bomb. Okay.
Don't worry, that wasn't the announcement.
Yes,
right?
Don't worry.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, it's not that shitter thing over here. We got something better for you.
We will see that coming up, the full version on Sunday night. Looking forward to that. And we will also, once we get to the off season, I think we can come up with some of the dream casts for Celebrity Big Brother. Spoiler alert. It won't be anybody that makes your dream cast, but it will be a bunch of people that have been on The Celebrity Apprentice in the last 5 years.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I believe what Julie said in the Hollywood Reporter article that came out about this was that they love what Dancing with the Stars has done with their casting.
Sure.
So I imagine they'll follow a similar route. I don't watch that show, so I don't know what that means. But anyone that does, you may have an idea what sort of caliber star they're going to be
like
getting.
Like a couple of has-been sports stars and a couple of people from Bravo, Real Housewives-esque kind of people. And one or two old Olympians. I don't know. there.
Look, it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
Yes.
Hopefully it does that. It is airing in that like January time slot when there's not a lot of other stuff going on. And then we lead into Big Brother Canada coming up then shortly after that. So should be a lot of fun. Let's get into some of your questions. Hashtag RHAP. And why don't we start off with Rich, who says, have Paul's dreams of dominating late game comps been shattered in the HOH tonight? Alex bossed that and he struggled. Yeah, I mean, Alex was really good and that wasn't a physical competition. That do you think that Taryn, could she win mental competitions too here down the stretch?
Absolutely. And Paul's been thinking that she has been his biggest competition for a while now. He even considered taking her out instead of Jason this week because he knew that she was much stronger at these mental competitions. That said, it's very difficult to win out from final six on. This veto coming up may or may not be mental. It might be physical, in which case she'll probably lose and this will be the opportunity to take her down. But man, if she wins the final five veto, then she has a very real shot at just winning out to the end.
Yeah. Brent, buying or selling that Alex could go on a Kevin Martin-esque run?
I'm going to sell it because Paul is certainly capable and he only missed one question tonight. I know Alex is certainly capable herself in these competitions, but I still feel like Paul has a leg up on everything that's coming down the pike. And once Paul gets her out of the game, I really don't think there's anybody that can beat him in anything the rest of the way that he's eligible for.
Okay. Let's take another question. This is from Matt G, who says, will Whistlenut have enough pull in the jury house to sway votes from Paul? Okay. Taryn, who in the jury house is going to listen to what Whistlenut has to say?
Well, here's the thing. Jason probably had one of the best social games in the house. Even the people that were his enemies had a pretty good relationship with him at one point. I think this is probably, if you're going to have anyone against you in the jury house, it's probably Jason that you don't want against you. That said, I think that I think it's going to be hard for him to win people to his side. He's also not the most persuasive person.
Right.
If people are talking about like respecting Paul's game and he comes in complaining about the fact that Paul turned on him, I think they're more likely to go, well, yeah, you dummy, stop being so bitter, than they are to be like, oh, you're right, Paul is the worst person in the world.
I feel like if he beats the drum a little bit too hard, it could be sort of like Bruno-esque from Big Brother 3. Like, you don't want to like, because then they're like, well, you were a party to all of this, Whistle. Like, you were lockstep with Paul the entire time while you guys were laughing at us when you were saying to Mark and Elena during the double eviction, but I'm gonna give a speech. I'm gonna give a speech, and you'll understand. I mean, that was all Paul's doing. You were just doing his bidding at that point. You can't then claim ignorance and say, you know. And by them saying that to him, I guess I'm gonna take back what I said earlier. If once he has some time to cool off, he may vote for Paul, but it's gonna take some cooling off. That's all.
Jason is going to come into that jury house and start telling everybody, including Matt, that Paul's a bad dude.
You little punk!
Yeah, Matt is not going to have that.
What were you trying to do?
But Matt's, yeah. From Matt's point of view, though,
Matt still has to call out Cody in the jury house.
That's true. Exactly. I can't wait for that. Matt, from Matt's point of view, though, Rob and Taryn, like, this is just going according to plan because Matt feels like he was in the true alliance with Paul and that Jason was just the fake alliance over here. So, I mean, I don't think that Matt's going to be surprised by anything that Whistle says. He's going to be like, yeah, you were supposed to go in the week prior, but you accidentally won HOH. So, you know, this isn't a surprise to me that you're coming into the jury house, dude.
Okay. Well,
I think the jury questioning is going to be a lot of, Paul, who are you actually loyal to? Because we can't really tell.
Right.
I think that Matt and Raven are going to be confused about, like, did he betray us or was he really working with us? We don't even know.
The right answer to that question is I was loyal to myself, and that's it. Me, myself, and I.
No, that's Bobby Moynihan.
No, you bring up a good point, Brent, that you could see almost like, could Cody be like so down on Paul that it comes around where people start to feel bad for Paul if you have somebody who is just like really destroying Paul? Do you think that people could potentially feel bad for him?
Yeah, I just feel like people in general on a jury like to be independent thinkers. They don't want to feel like they're being had by anybody in particular. They want to own their vote, especially on a jury of nine rather than seven. I feel like it's very hard to sort of orchestrate the person you want to lose because you have to obviously get that many more votes. But so I really don't feel like Whistle's going to have much pull at all. I feel like more than anything, the real thing that Whistle could do to the jury is when he walks in there and he's just absolutely crushed. That may have some pull with them because that's a natural reaction to being had by someone who's playing the game at such a high level like Paul. But on the other hand, they're probably going to be like, we tried to tell you and you didn't want to listen to us. So I feel like in that instance, they're still going to vote for Paul.
Okay. Let me take one other question. Wit says, was that a scripted act between Josh and Paul after Jason's eviction, or was all that real? How scripted was it, Taryn, down to like, were they rehearsing lines?
I don't think they were rehearsing lines, but they very much had been planning on this basically all week long that they were going to be fighting. No, there wasn't like, a script they were following, but yes, it was planned.
Sorry, I just want to say really quickly, you could tell that was really Paul's doing because that fight, air quotes, was really Paul yelling at Josh and Josh being like, oh, yeah, kind of. Like, Josh did not want to fight Paul. He made that clear to Paul. He went kicking and screaming into that fight. And frankly, I'm glad he did because it probably saved him and Christmas from landing on the block.
What about at the end of the episode where we saw Josh hysterical crying? Was that fake tears or was he really crying?
That was real tears, and this is probably spoiler territory, but I mean, you can see from the episode, he was conflicted about voting Jason out. I'm reading that he told Christmas that he actually was thinking about keeping Jason, and the only reason that he didn't is because he was scared that Jason would win HOH and then place Christmas on the block. That's the only reason. Otherwise, he would have voted to keep Jason, and I would have been here for that. That would have been great.
All right. Here's something I want to ask you guys about. So there were a lot of tweets and talk on Reddit today about a clip of Christmas having a heart-to-heart with the camera. And I saw this go both ways where people were talking about it. And then also, I also saw it called fake news. And it was stuff that was edited incorrectly. Does Christmas, has she revealed that she is in love with Paul? Brent, you fell out of your chair momentarily.
This is terrible. Honestly, you know, we said often.
Is it real or not?
I believe it's real because I've always felt that there was some weird connection with her and Paul. Maybe Taryn has a different opinion, but I feel like it's real. And we always said during Big Brother 16 that Derek had the house guest hypnotized. But this is like way worse because Christmas has been dickmatized. She has been dickmatized by Paul.
Easy, easy,
I'm serious.
Easy.
She is hot for him. There is a natural chemistry between these two. At least going from her to him that I cannot deny watching the feeds. And I do really, really believe that this is part of her thinking. Frankly, it explains everything to me because she has been so ridiculous listening to Josh about not wanting to entertain anything about Paul. And then you see on the live feed, she's saying, well, when I leave this house, I'm going to know whether or not my heart's broken or whether or not my heart is healed. And I'm like, I just want to like strangle her at this point. I'm like, so this is why you're not listening to your boy, Josh. This is why, because you're in love with Paul.
All right, Taryn, weigh in on this. Is Christmas Joy, in fact, in love with Paul? Literally,
is she in love with Paul?
Literally. And just in case people haven't seen the clip, Christmas came out and described how she is admitting for the first time that she has romantic feelings for Paul.
She did not say that outright. No,
she has feelings for Paul. She didn't use the word romantic.
I don't think she even said that specifically about Paul. I do believe this clip that has been spreading around has been edited in a way that makes it sound worse than it was. I actually talked about this morning on the Morning Update, where we said that she may have been referring to Paul. She may have been talking about feelings. She might have, but the edited version really does make it look or seem much more solid and like intense than I think it came across if you were watching it actually play out. So do I think she's in love with Paul? No. But does she maybe have some feelings? Is she maybe saying that, like, you know, I'm kind of, you know, feeling some things? Did she just have, like, I believe the third was when her wedding was supposed to take place that she very recently ended. So I believe she's very, you know, emotional about that as well. So I think there's a lot going on here, and I think it has been oversimplified for sure.
Okay, it's complicated.
Yeah, well, I never said she was in love with him. I just, you know.
Well, you know what I said. I know what you said. Yeah. What are we saying? She's in lust with him? That she just says she wants his bod? Is that
she feels? I was making a joke about that, okay? Like, there's a spiritual connection from Queer Christmas. Is a very deeply feeling person. God, I'm like quoting Beaches now. Like, she's a very deeply feeling person. And I know it sounds like I'm making a joke, but I'm really not. She is just somebody who, like, really believes in this, like, sort of spiritual connection with somebody. And I really do feel like she feels like that with Paul.
Okay, is that what the friendship bracelet does?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, and for the record, I do agree. I think that she does have some feelings there. She definitely, you know, spends a lot of time very physically intimate with him. No, so that was way worse than it. stroking his hair, stuff like that.
Spooning and, with him in front of other people. Yes.
And, is she and, the big spoon and, or the little spoon?
I think the big spoon, yeah.
Okay. That makes a difference.
Yeah. I do think that she is feeling these things toward him, but I think that it has been dramatized. I believe that this is you know, being exaggerated.
Okay. All right. We will see how that plays out. Do we have any word? Has the HOH competition taken place yet, Taryn?
No, it has not taken place yet.
Okay. Do you guys feel like that there is any spoiler material that we need to get into, or should we start to wrap things up?
There's definitely some stuff we can talk about.
Okay. All right. So let me hit the spoiler music. Just to be safe here on Double Eviction Night.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Brent, you look such a deep in thought.
I'm trying to quickly read on what's going on because I've been talking so much that I haven't really caught up yet. So the only thing I read was about Josh saying that he had considered voting to keep Jason, but Christmas had stayed his hand successfully. So Taryn can get us caught up on what else is going on.
Okay, Taryn, so what else is happening?
All right, so Paul has been going to work. He had a long conversation with Kevin where he talked to Kevin about throwing this HOH competition. Kevin basically said,
"Come on, everybody, stop with the throwing everything."
Kevin basically said, "What? So I can go back up on the block like
I did
last time?
So I could lose to a girl on crutches again? What, are you crazy? Doing
yeah, I'm so glad he told Paul he can go F himself. I mean, not exactly. But
Paul responded by saying,
I'm not dickmatized.
Paul said, look what happened last time. What, you stayed safe, right? And, you know, look at everything that happened. Everything worked out fine. And he was like, yeah, you know what? All right. That's fine.
He might be telling him that, but I think he's going to go for the win here, especially if it's something that he can do. He actually did pretty well in that question and answer competition. So, you don't know. From, no,
he was right there.
Kevin could pull out a win somewhere, and that would just be great.
Okay.
He also, Paul also spoke to Alex, and we talked about Alex's potentially having a little bit of doubt. You can rest assured, the Alex that we know, she is here to stay.
Yes.
She said, Paul, you are my ride or die. I trust you implicitly. We got to win this thing. If I don't win, it's got to be you. You know, this is, we're all good.
Yeah. Do people like this, they go on a reality show and they sort of like publicly expose themselves as being like really easy marks and just duped very easily. Do you think that these people really open the doors for like con people to like reach out to them after the show? And there's just hey, you know, you just won a cruise. All I need is your social security number. Okay. Oh, you're my ride or die. Anything you say. Sure, this sounds like a great offer. I wonder, is there a danger there, Brent, in just exposing yourself as somebody who is just falls for everything on national television?
I would say only for other reality shows. I would kindly point out to Taryn that, because he often reminds me of this, that yes, she is saying that to Paul, but what's she gonna say to us? What's she gonna say in the diary room? Is she going to realize that her situation is tenuous, or is she going to just continue to spout the same thing that Paul is giving her to say? Because if she does the latter, then I'm just going to continue to laugh at her. But I'm going to withhold judgment, even though I'm laughing at her, because I want to see what she has to say to us.
Yeah, as always with these Thursday night spoilers, this is like what I've gleaned from reading Twitter. So this is very much subject to change. But at the same time, are we really going to put any faith in Alex?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Johnny Mac. Thank you.
Well timed.
Okay. Poet Stephen Fishback says, Rob, any truth to the rumors that both you and Nicole Love's Shoes are both going on Celebrity Big Brother? No comment at this time.
Thank you.
Are you planning a big move soon?
Yes, we're moving. Dave Coca wants to know, RJP, why didn't Josh run to Alex and expose Paul after the veto comp or even the nominations? Production never gave them time on purpose. I did think it was odd in terms of the timing that usually, I mean, as we saw in the double eviction when Whistlenut won the HOH, that there was a lot of time to huddle up. You would think that that's good TV, and you would think that unless they just felt like, oh no, Paul's just got this on lockdown, let's not give them any time. Taryn, did you find that unusual that they rushed Alex up to the line to make her get those nominations in without any deliberation?
That was definitely unusual. I don't think we've seen that before, where they go straight from the competition right into nominations without any kind of conversation. If anything, that was sort of to Paul's disadvantage, but I guess he had managed to get his work in with Alex before the competition had even started, which was actually pretty impressive. So, if anything, this was, to Paul's detriment. This is not good for Paul to not have time to talk, but he managed it anyway.
Yeah, I know people are saying that they didn't have time, but then they let there be deliberation after the veto, which was after the longer competition. So I'm not really sure how the timing worked out with all that.
I think they're trying to keep them on their toes, honestly, more than anything, because I know that Big Brother generally hates it when the house guests can sort of predict what's going to happen. So I know that they love the fact that they absolutely gobsmacked them tonight with the news of a double eviction. Because, again, as Taryn has noted on the morning show, Paul has been saying there's going to be a Sunday eviction for the past 4 weeks. And Josh even tried to tell him, I feel like a double eviction is coming on Thursday. And Paul was like, nah, it's going to be on Sunday.
Also, I do think if they knew ahead of time that this veto competition might run long, they probably wanted to do everything they could to squeeze the first half in so that they'd have space to play with that veto competition in case it ran long. And then maybe it didn't run as long as they thought it would, and they had a little extra time to give them time to talk.
I thought they were going to run out of limes during the veto competition.
I wonder if they were feeding more in through the bottom because you couldn't see the
There's
back
no
wall.
Way.
There's no way
they fit all those limes in there.
You don't think they had a hole in the back? I mean,
Those pools were not big enough for the amount of limes they were spitting out. Those things were huge. There's no way. They had to be funneling those in there somehow.
Oh, so you agree?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying that there was no way.
There's no way that it was the way that we saw it.
Yes, right. We're on the same page.
Yeah.
Okay. This is from Matthew, who says, are you thinking, OF, there goes my winter vacation? Let me just gauge you guys. I know that sometimes at the end of the summer, we have a little bit of burnout that happens with Big Brother. Brent, thumbs up or thumbs down? You're pumped up for Celebrity Big Brother?
Thumbs up, pumped up. Celebrities, more than anything, are greedy fame whores. They will be here for our entertainment. They will stab anybody in the back. They're not making friends with nobody. They don't care that anybody lost last season. Like, I heard Christmas and Josh talking about the fact that, well, you know, Paul lost last season. He really deserved to win. I'm like, that's not your responsibility to fix that mistake. You should be self-interested. And celebrities are always self-interested. And so I am here for this.
Taryn, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up. What do I quit my job for? I'm here to podcast about Big Brother. It's my function.
Yes. Okay. Taryn, how excited are you about the possibility of March's Snooki interview on the Taryn Show?
Oh, man. I'd have to look her up.
Oh.
Yeah,
they jump at it. It'd be exciting. Okay, so we will see. We will see exactly how that happens. Jennifer asks us, will Jason tell the jury about the final three that Paul has with Josh and Christmas? Will Raven realize Paul voted her out? Will people buy this? Will people buy this? The information that Jason is now armed with from the Josh confessional.
I think that they will. I think they'll look at that and go, yeah, that probably sounds about right. The only person who may not buy it is Matt, because he was so locked into a Matt, Raven, Paul final three that I'm sure he just can't entertain anything else. But I'm sure Cody... Exactly. He's going to keep his core values. The Cody, Elena, Mark are going to look at that and go, of course he's taking Josh and Christmas to the inn. Are you nuts? Like, who else is he going to take with him? He's not Jay. Because you heard, look, that just shows they cast Jason on this show sight unseen because he had not watched one flipping episode of Big Brother. He actually thinks that Paul was going to go to the inn with him and Alex. That's what he thought. Knowing that Alex and Jason have openly called each other their ride or dies, and that they're the only two people who have been able to compete with him in competitions, and that they were just going to go to the inn and fight it out like men or people, whatever. And I mean, that just shows what a freaking idiot he is that he actually bought that.
All right, Taryn, let me go back to something more important right now. Do you think, is there any possibility that Dr. Will Kirby could play in Celebrity Big Brother?
Ooh, you know what? He just did an interview with someone, I don't remember who, and he did say, you know, at some point, the Bulls got to go back into the ring. To wrangle up the
I really feel like this is the only scenario in which Will Kirby would consider going back and playing Big Brother again. Him being the only Big Brother player, right? With a house full of celebrities, being the only Big Brother, it sort of elevates him to a status above all other Big Brother players. Him doing that, I really feel like that, Brent. This is the I see this being the only scenario. It'd be what, 21 days? I think he would do it.
You're saying it's going to be 21 days. I don't know if it's going to really be, you know, 3 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever. And look, here's the thing. I read that interview. I thought he was being totally sarcastic the entire time. I didn't believe a lick of it. I just sounded like production speak for me. So that probably lends itself to the idea that maybe he is, like, you know, gliding the path so that he can get on Celebrity Big Brother. On the other hand, they'd be lucky to have him. So what do they really need? What does he really need to glide it for?
I'm telling you, Taryn, that Dr. Will and Neil Patrick Harris, Chill Town 2018.
Yes. All right. I'm buying it.
The greatest alliance in Big Brother history is about to be born. Coming to CBS. Okay. All right. Sorry, Brent. Sorry that we're.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I usually mute my mic when I'm yawning. Okay. I'm sorry.
All right.
Do that.
All right. Sorry that I just wanted to, you know, that I put a bad idea out into the world before I want to put a good balance out the universe, put a good idea out there. All right. Then Johnny Day. Since Alex didn't leave and Josh is likely to tell her Jason's plan, how soon should Paul come clean to Alex about his plan? Stop. He's not coming clean.
He's not coming clean. Yeah, not while she's still, she could beat him. Yeah. She could beat him in a competition and take him out. He's not going to come clean to her and they're not going to tell her, although I think they should. I wonder, Taryn, well, let's assume for the sake of argument that Kevin wins HOH out of nowhere and I don't know. Maybe Alex wins the veto. I don't know. I'm just trying to come up with a scenario where Josh and Christmas, or at least Josh, would be panicky enough to try to throw Paul under the bus and try.
Oh, yeah. I think Josh would immediately throw Paul under the bus in that circumstance, because it's either him, Christmas, or Paul in that scenario.
Right.
I think that if as soon as Alex wins the veto and has another chance to play an HOH, I think Josh is going to get very antsy again, because he's still taking heat from Alex and Paul is still not taking heat from Alex. And if Kevin is safe, or even if he's not safe, I could see Josh saying, no, stop it. Paul was actually in on that plan. It was not me. It was his fault. Blame him. Go after him. I don't want to take the fall for this.
Okay. We will see. Taryn will have the live feed update again tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. Be on the lookout.
Should be fun.
Lots of stuff going on in the world of RHAP. Episode number 2, second one out, first one out, the new series from Josh Wiggler. Josh visited with all of the members of the Heroes tribe and spends almost 2 hours getting to know the 6 members of the Heroes tribe on Heroes Beach. During the game, even Taryn, that you put this together, the interviews that they were before the game, but he's also there during the game.
Yes, so he interviewed them before the game started, and then he also got to visit the camps on day 2. But obviously, there's no interviews from day 2.
Right. Okay. Then check this out. This is our Australian Survivor recap. Nick Yadanza with Connor from Australian Survivor Season 1. Talk about another exciting week in Australian Survivor. You want to check that out. And then also, Taryn, who are these people that you talked to on American Ninja Warrior?
We're actually in the background on the left of that shot.
Oh yes, okay. So if you can look all the way back in the corner, yes. There's Taryn and Lita. So don't look at the people that are in the foreground of this shot. The people that are all the way.
Don't look at the really hot cowboy in the front. Look at the two crazy people in the back. Yeah.
Yeah. So check that out.
lots of great American Ninja Warrior stuff we're doing.
Yes, and even more coming soon. And then a live feed update coming up on Friday morning, because what a segue that the host of American Ninja Warrior and, spoiler alert, the winner of the new Celebrity Apprentice, Matt Eisman, is going to be joining us on Sunday night. And maybe
potential potential future big Celebrity Big Brother player.
Yeah, we'll talk to him about his strategy potentially, and whether or not he can hook up Taryn with Snooki for that elusive the Taryn Show interview. Also, check out a great interview with Aubrey Bracco, hosted by Taryn on the Taryn Show. So great stuff all around. What a time to be alive.
Right? Yes. What a time to be alive. By the way, can I just say really quickly, I get this question all the time in my people sliding into my DMs.
Whoa. Hey.
I know, right? Oh, is that,
Brent.
Okay.
Look, the Taryn Show, that was a long time ago. Stop it, people.
Okay. Not that kind of question. What I'm trying to say is, I get this question all the time from people. They're like, Brent, we love you. Why don't you have your own show? People, I don't want my own show. I am not a hardworking person. People like Taryn, they have to do work. They have to get guests. They have to prepare. They've got to have stuff to say. They've got to, like, you know, show you where you're going during the episode and lead the questions. I am not that kind of person. I do not want my own show. So I appreciate all the support, but Rob does not have a show for me because I don't want one. It's not because nobody likes me. Sorry, okay. Okay.
There you go.
All right.
There you go. Okay. Thank you for clearing the air, Brent.
In 2 days, people are like, why don't you have your own show? Oh, I don't want my own show.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So many people are saying to me, hey, where's my show? Where's my show? All right. There you go. All right. Well, great job. Lots of fun coming on here. Big audience. Thanks to everybody who tuned in live after the double eviction. I know it gets late on the East Coast, so thank you guys so much. Really looking forward to the interview with Matt Eisman on Sunday night. Taryn and I talked to him during right after the Celebrity Apprentice season, so that was a lot of fun. He's a big, big brother fan. He's been following all of this very closely this season, so that should be a lot of fun. And then we are coming up to the season finale of Big Brother 19 on Wednesday the 20th. So be on the lookout for everything coming up down the home stretch of the season. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. We got a lot of stuff coming up on post-show recaps as well. The Throner Awards will be dropping imminently, as well as my interview with the my interview with Josh Wigler, who played his interviews with the next two people that we're profiling, JP and Ryan Ulrich. You will hear them on our next Survivor episode of RHAP coming up tomorrow. Have a great night, everybody. Take care. Bye.
Bye.